Good morning, and welcome to Zion. This is our third Sunday of Lent. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. We want to welcome our visitors that are here. Our focus statement for today: when we become empty and weary from things that do not satisfy, God pours out life-giving drink. We turn from destruction to God's grace. So over the last several weeks, we've been talking about who we are and whose we are in our relationship with Christ. Christ calls us beloved. So what is the word beloved? It means dear, favorite, worthy of love. Beloved is a word indicating an action on the part of one doing the loving. God of the universe, the same God who paints a sunset, shapes a mountain, and plans the waves at the beach, has chosen to love us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And our role is to be loved. We're his beloved. Our role is to be loved. So I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to give me a 1, 2, or 3-word answer. And I'm going to come to you. So I'm going to make this a little bit interactive. When you think about the past week, where did you see God's beauty or goodness in the past week? And I want you to just raise your hand and just, I kind of want popcorn answers, but I'm going to come to you. So if a lot of you talk, I'm going to be running around a lot. But when you share, there's something in here for you. Okay, so I'm going to spread a little goodness. That's to give you some incentive. So where this past week did you see or experience God's beauty or goodness? Kevin.
In the blooming flowers.
In the blooming flowers. Anyone else? Ken Hostetler. Welcome.
Twin grandsons.
Yes. Here, here, here. Yep. Amen. Anybody else? Jan.
In my garden.
Anyone else? Hands. Clark?
That full moon.
I was wondering if someone would mention the moon. On Wednesday night is when I saw that from my backyard. Beautiful. Pat?
Oh, that warm temperature earlier in the week, and I bought plants, and I have a good family that's planting for me.
Yes, Claudia.
I saw fresh snow on Mount Hood.
Mm-hmm. Any kids? I think there's some goodness happening. Kira.
In the people of my community.
Thank you. Isn't there some goodness happening for kids this week? Yes, Sawyer. I was waiting for someone.
Listen.
Anybody else? Serenity.
In the high school kids this morning, they were so brave.
Julie? Yes, on your phone, sunrise.
I got
God's beauty or goodness this past week?
Canby High School choir and alumni choir. My goodness. Yum, yum.
Music, music. Anyone else? Becky.
I saw a hummingbird.
Yes, yeah.
Anybody else? Kelly?
Smiles and hugs from friends.
So even if you didn't share, I want you to come up after church and reach in the bag, because all of us have experienced God's goodness this week, even if we haven't said anything. Okay, I'm coming over here to Aiden.
Me and my brother were so happy to come to Grandma's.
To go to Grandma's, nice. What about spring break? I thought I would hear that from someone.
Spring break.
Thank you. I was waiting for that one. God's goodness in spring break. I got my taxes done. That was goodness. Yay. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, the eyes of all look to you in hope, and you give them what they need. You open your hand and satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. We praise you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you call us your children, your beloved. And we turn to you again, longing to be filled, to eat of the bread of life, to drink from your life-giving streams, and to taste your goodness and live. May you be present with us this morning. We welcome your Holy Spirit to nourish our hearts and minds, to be strengthened in our relationship with you, and renew our commitment to live in this world as your faithful disciples. For you alone are God, the source and sustainer of life. Amen. Let's sing together.
Number two, and if you're able, would you please stand with me? We're going to make some changes in the selections this morning. We've had some last-minute maneuverings, so pay attention. We will skip the second hymn, and we will add one at that point. Number two.
Save us, Lord, when we pray.
Now we're going to move on to the third one, number 521. 521. Now we're going to switch gears. Let's go to the green book, number 49. Spring vacation, you never know who you're going to find as a piano player when spring vacation is here, but I finally got one. Number 49.
Thank you.
We're going to have a moment of mission because MDS meeting was held here yesterday. Some of you may not know who MDS is or what they do. I just want to make a couple of comments. Mennonite Disaster Service is a volunteer network of Anabaptist churches dedicated to responding to natural and man-made disasters in Canada and the United States. Our aim is to assist the most vulnerable community members, individuals, and families who would not otherwise have the means to recover. MDS volunteers, men and women, youth and adults, provide the skills and the labor needed to respond, rebuild, and restore in the wake of disaster. MDS is known for having a collaborative spirit, and we work with other groups, including faith-based organizations, local recovery committees, and both governmental and non-governmental agencies. We have a video. Joe?
Looking back on 2018, we've seen a year of disasters, both large and small. The California wildfires and hurricanes Michael and Florence affected hundreds of thousands of people. Small-scale disasters like the tornadoes that struck the Ottawa area of Ontario didn't seem small to those who survived them. No matter the size, people are left with pressing needs and lasting trauma. And you have been there, ready to respond. I was amazed by you, our MDS donors and supporters, over and over again this past year. You volunteered more than 46,000 days of your time, cleaning up, repairing, and rebuilding homes. You raised nearly $250,000 during a 24-hour telethon. You lent a listening ear and sent your prayers of strength and support, all in service to disaster survivors in need of hope. We are brought together in shared humanity.
The foundation is cracked, the windows are broken, there's over 8 feet of water.
We had no idea what was coming.
It wasn't like any other fire that we had up here.
We lost all our furniture, all our beds, all our clothes.
I knew it was over for the house.
I was hoping we'd never have another one, but you'll come another one, son.
It's been a rough year.
Many people had a traumatic situation. This person going to have a mark or a remember in his mind about this experience. It's more easy to repair a house than repair a mind or heart.
Just this morning, I prayed for some help.
Lord, you know who's going to come.
People we didn't even know from different churches, different states, and helped us clean up.
Community came together with support for all those that lost their homes. It really took a lot of the anxiety and the frustration away when you saw all the neighbors and the organizations that were pooling together to help.
So just their ability to come in and say,
we're here to help each other, and you guys are our number one priority right now. So to hear that in a time of need, it really means a lot.
What I enjoy most about this kind of work is the families and the people we meet. You only learn more about yourself at home when you get to see how other people are living and doing. And when people are struggling and you know that we have access to get here and to come here and to help.
You can't help but see God's hand at work by looking at what's happening.
Volunteering in a situation like this is a character builder because too often there's a divide between different age groups. And this is a thing that puts people together.
The bond that we're seeing grow over spending the time with each other.
You get to show God's love through the works that you do and the words that you say.
Sometimes people can cope better if they have somebody to talk to. That is very important, even as important as working.
We are the hand and the feet of Jesus. Being involved in this time is put our hand in the place we put our voice. We speak about the love, about the compassion, but now this is the right moment to do that, to make the change in our communities.
We tell a lot of people thank you, but it's definitely not enough. Thank yous are not enough in a case like this. You have showed us hope and things that we kind of felt like we lost out for a while when you go through this, and hope and love, and oh, everybody has hugged us and made us feel at home and gave us their name. We just made friends for life.
What a great example for us. It's life-changing is what it is, and I think most volunteers know that.
Without Mennonite Disaster Service, we probably would have had to foreclose on our home. The Lord just provided people and community, and can't say thank you enough to everybody who even had a little piece and helping us get here.
It's my calling. I always say that God has gifted me with health. He's gifted me with experience. He's gifted me with a love to serve. The Bible says that each one should use whatever gift they've received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, and this is one of the various forms that I am gifted to serve.
They were answered to my prayers.
I'll be grateful forever.
They're wonderful people, they are.
Everything is life in itself back home.
I thank God, but the glory goes to God. God bless you.
Dear God, as cruel winds destroy homes,
floods wash away communities,
and fires leave trauma in their wake,
may we draw together in shared determination,
bringing kindness and reconstruction
that helps people get back to living.
Amen.
We encourage you to add to this prayer. Share it with your church community, your family, your neighbors, for we will need your continued strength and support in 2019. Disaster survivors will need their hope restored. Let us ask, can we do more? Based on the seeds of compassion you planted in 2018, I believe the answer is a resounding yes.
I am very pleased to see with us some friends who were with us for the MDS meeting yesterday, John and Wendy Colvin from Calvary Mennonite Church, who give a lot of leadership and time and sweat equity to Mennonite Disaster Service, but also to see a friend of Becky and myself, Elizabeth Soto Albrecht. We had several years in seminary together. Elizabeth, I invite you to come forward to give a word of greeting and tell us just briefly about your work with MDS as well. Now, some of you might have seen Elizabeth. I know you were moderator for MCUSA for a number of years. I remember reading, when I was on the mission board, I remember reading the reports and testimonies that she and her husband Frank sent back from Colombia when you were missionaries there as well. I probably touched on a third of your work and service to God. But Elizabeth, welcome, and give us a word of greeting, please, and tell us some of your perspective and experience with MDS, okay, and your native Puerto Rico.
Exacto. Saludos, hermanos y hermanas. Greetings, brothers and sisters. In the last 14 months after Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico and devastated a small island of 3.8 million people, Mennonite, that happened in September 20th, the night of 2017. Mennonite Disaster Service arrived October the 4th and invited me, a native from the island. I was living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania with my husband. I've been in the States for 30 years, but I always travel to Puerto Rico. My parents are there. So like many other Puerto Ricans, we felt powerless. How can we serve back? And I thank Mennonite Disaster Service to call me for 2018 to be their administrator to the response. As we landed in Puerto Rico, I knew that our response in Puerto Rico will be different than other models of Mennonite Disaster Service. We needed to respond through the churches and through the leadership and empower them to rebuild. Now, we work at four of the pillars. So we asked the question, does Mennonite Disaster Service have enough work to do in Puerto Rico? In the last 15 months, we have been working strong, building churches, rebuilding and repairing Mennonite schools and homes of pastors, and then repairing destroyed roofs of people. Do we have enough funds? We have used a lot of the funds in the island. So we continue to need more to continue working for 2019. Logistics. Part of my work as administrator was creating wonderful logistics to welcome the volunteers. Where are you going to stay? Who's going to cook for you? And all those wonderful things. But not only the regular type of volunteers, Canadian and U.S., but to empower Puerto Ricans to join forces with them. In occasion, we needed to look for local labor. People are really unemployed or underemployed in the island. It was worse. It was bad before the hurricane, during the financial crisis of the country. It got really bad right after, to the point that we lost an important part of the population that came to the United States because we are U.S. citizens since 1917. So all four pillars are still present for 2019. I have finished my work as administrator, and we empowered the local pastor, Rolando Flores, in San Juan to be the national coordinator, to give follow-up of the structures, who welcomes the volunteers, how do they go to the three sites, Ay Bonito, Ponce, the south, and the northwest part of the country. But I cannot finish without telling a story, how the responding, rebuilding restores people's lives. One house, one roof at a time gives hope of restoration for people to keep on living and keep on working still yet in an economically challenged environment. You saw the image of our first cement house of Nilda Cedeño. Nilda's house was totally destroyed. And Ponce Mennonite Church said, we will start with them. Nilda's daughter was the only one going to church. And she came to church, and then she became a missionary in Venezuela, to which she is still in Venezuela. But she was honored that her house, her simple house, was identified as the first. And one of the things that mitigation helps us through MDS is we are rebuilding roofs, we are rebuilding homes, we're redoing roofs for schools, but we are following hurricane resistance and earthquake resistant codes. So the next hurricane that will start season will start the 1st of June back in the island, takes us all the way to beginning of November. If and when we get hit again, what we have been doing stands for around 180 miles per hour winds. We're teaching people to follow those standards through our engineer, Johannes Zimmerman. But earthquake as well, because we stand in a faya in front of the Atlantic Ocean that surrounds and goes all the way to Central America, goes down Haiti, Dominican Republic, comes right up through the West Indies. We know that probably Puerto Rico could get hit by earthquake. So it is only responsibility to respond well. Have we been able to do thousands and thousands of homes? No. But the ones that we have done, the over 200, has been mitigated. And we know that no earthquake, at least 180 miles per hour would take that roof away from that family. The elderly population is hurting as well. So we're giving priority to the elderly who live alone in the mountains because their family had to come to the States to work. The single mothers and fathers, and even those elderly with their grandchildren raising them. So there is a lot of need. I want to thank you to think about Oregon Unit, and I bless the step of getting that wonderful trailer, because Mennonite Disaster Service sent us two small trailers to Puerto Rico. One is in the north and the other's in the south, and we've been using them well. So when Mennonite Disaster Service leaves their volunteer, they equip us and sustain what they have started. So muchas gracias, and thank you for your support. And Puerto Rico is still alive. We will continue receiving volunteers, men and women that know about putting new roofs in people's lives and homes. Dios le bendiga y gracias.
A hymn was written by William Cowper in the 19th century, which summarizes the sentiment surrounding the MDS trailer project. It goes like this. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You find in your mailboxes a yellow sheet that looks like this, and it tells about the story of the Oregon Unit MDS trailer. When we issued this challenge in November of 2016, we had no idea that the challenge would be met. It's out there in the parking lot. The first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. May God be praised. Thank you. Matt?
In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in prayer, a prayer of dedication and consecration and celebration for the trailer and all the potential and power and promise that it carries. And as you look at it, I ask you to look not only at the wonder of that trailer, but at the organization inside it and marvel at all the very big and little things put together so artfully, like in a jigsaw puzzle. And yesterday, too, when I was hearing about the decision of MDS to engage Puerto Rico, people of Puerto Rico in the process to work with and through the church there, it reminded me of a proverb I've heard, an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think that expresses the power and beauty of that decision. I invite you now to join me in prayer. And then at the end, let's all say amen together. Let's pray. Oh God, you are our shelter. In the shelter of your wings, we take refuge during the many and terrible storms of life. You would extend, Lord, the shelter of your love to all souls and to all creation. The shelter of hope and the shelter of a home. The shelter of salvation and the shelter of a roof, of walls, of warmth and safety. We thank you and we praise you for the work of Mennonite Disaster Service. For it is such a beautiful expression and reflection of all that you have done for us through the Carpenter of Nazareth. And as you help us build walls of wood, brick, and mortar, so also do you tear down walls of fear, resentment, indifference, and trauma. Through the skilled and loving labors of those working with hammers, saws, and ladders, you are building a kingdom and a city which unites heaven and earth. So bless and use all who have labored and given and prayed for this trailer and its tools. So bless and use all who will labor, give, serve, and pray by means of this trailer and its tools. So bless all who will be blessed by this trailer, its tools, and by those who labor, serve, give, and pray by means of it. And so bless, we pray, the trailer itself and its tools. Protect it and all who travel and work with it, whether it is waiting while it is on the road or whether it is at the work site. Awaken and alert all of us to the needs and the people whom this trailer, these tools, and these skilled and loving hands will serve, and unite us with them in a common bond of need and of service. As we honor others with friendship and service, may the greatest honor be yours. And this we pray in the name of the Master Carpenter from Nazareth, who is building a temple of heaven and earth, a home for people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Amen. And all God's people say, Amen.
Would our ushers come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray. Lord, teach us the wise use of the resources you provide us personally and as a congregation. And we dedicate these offerings to your glory and our neighbor's good. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for the kids to come up front and join Bree Ettinger over on this side of the stage. Come on up. Come sit down. Come on up, kiddos. Come sit down. Good job. Okay, I brought a friend with me today.
and his name is Pele. And we have a book about him. He lives on a farm with sheep and goats and cows. And he has been working with his family all day on the farm. And he's super hungry. And if we're really quiet, we might be able to hear his stomach because it's going grumble, 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 grumble. Now, by show of hands, have you ever felt your stomach go grumble, grumble? Yeah. It's because there's no food in there. And it's super hungry, and it needs some food. Now, that night for supper, Pele was super excited for dinner. And so he went to dinner, and he sat down. And on his plate, he found a toy airplane. Now, do you think that would satisfy his hunger? No, that's silly. Or do you think it would if he went to his dinner and he found a marker to eat? That's silly. Do you think he would feel full and satisfied? No, of course not. What about, now this is, it's shiny and it's cool looking. A neat seashell. What if he found that on his plate? Do you think he'd, oh no, I'd break a tooth. We got to be careful. Now, what about, I have some pictures here. What if he found a big bowl of fruit? Yum, 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 yum. Oh, that tastes so good. I think he'd be satisfied. What about, I have another thing, a bunch of veggies. Now, he really likes vegetables. Yum, 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 yum. Oh, man, he'd feel so good. His tummy would start to feel full and satisfied. Now I have here, look at, yeah, a bunch of bread on his plate. Yum, 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 yum. Oh, I feel so good. And then last but not least, these are a special dessert called macaroons. He'd probably just have one or two of these so he didn't get sick, but he'd feel really good. And also, it was a hot day on the farm, and he was sweaty, and he was really thirsty. And so he had a big, cool glass of water waiting for him. Oh, that was so nice. He feels so satisfied now. And you know what? The Bible says something kind of funny. I have my Bible here. It says, Jesus said, blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So in all of us, God made a special part, not just our tummy that's satisfied with food, but a special part that is hungry and thirsty for God. And I have some pictures that God, some ways God uses to fill that up. What about this? Looks like some kids snuggling with maybe their mom or their aunt or a special friend. Oh, and here's a daddy or maybe an uncle snuggling. That's another way that God helps fill up that place inside of us. And here is a, looks like a grandpa and a grandma playing with their kids. Those are ways that God satisfies that hunger and thirst that we have for good things for him. Because he made us to have families and people and grown-ups that love us and help take care of us. Oh, and look, here's a bunch of friends. He made us to have friends and be friendly and have fun together. God made fun. He loves us to have fun together. Also, oh, here's a bunch of kids. They're at church, just like you guys are here today. That's another way that God fills us up and fills up that part of us that's hungry for him. And you know what? It's so neat because all of you who are here today, if you look out at all the grown-ups, all those grown-ups love you, and they're so excited that you're here. And God made, and they all have those places in their hearts too, that hunger and thirst for God. And there's nothing that will fill us up, that special place. Only God can fill it up. And so I want to take a moment and, I brought some treats to fill up your tummies, and we'll hand those out in a second. But I want to take a moment and pray for you guys. And if you guys wouldn't mind, maybe all of our grown-up friends and any kids, if you would just maybe raise your hand towards the kids, or if there's a kid next to you, put your hand on them. And we're going to pray for you and help fill you up, because reading the Bible and praying for each other, that's another way to fill up that hunger and thirsty part. Okay? All right, I'm going to put my hands like this. And if you have a friend next to you, you could put your hand on a shoulder next to you for your friend too, in a nice way. Yeah. Okay, let's pray, and then I'll hand out our goodies, okay? All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for each one of the children sitting up here and sitting in the church and back in the nursery. We just pray your protection over them, and that they would hunger and thirst for you, Lord, and that you would meet them in the special and intimate ways all of their life in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen. You are so loved. Thank you so much for coming up here. Here, I will help. I'll hand these out. They're little raisins, so you can, they're in little baggies. You can take them back to the grown-up you came here with, and then they can help you decide to eat them or save them for later, okay? Here, Eli. Do you want to help them? Okay. And then once you get your bag of raisins, you are free to go and sit down. Thank you for being such good listeners. Okay. Lucy has more, too. Okay.
Thank you, Bree, and thank you to our youth who made these banners on either side up front. They did those, I think, the last couple weeks, and also children who have done the Lent visual on canvas in the front. Thank you for those. We're going to read together our scripture passage. This is one that we have asked you to work at memorizing during Lent, so let's read it together. O God, you are my God. Water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. Matthew.
The focus of this service has to do with the ministries that we are engaged in, such as Mennonite Disaster Service. And also, just a little bit later, we're going to hear a brief report and see a video also about Vida Feliz, the senior center that we support in Colombia as well, for which there is the fundraiser and the meal after church this next Sunday. We'll also hear some from our other partners in supporting this ministry, our friends from Roca de Salvacion, a Mennonite church that meets up at Calvary, and some of our friends from Calvary as well next week. So my thoughts in relation to this message will be fairly short. I won't go too long with this message for fear that if I do go the normal length, it'll become another kind of Mennonite disaster service. And I don't want that to happen. I'll start simply with an interesting thing that I saw in the New York Times this week about new job positions opening up with some major corporations on their campuses for, quote, spiritual resource persons. Spiritual resource persons. Now, I'm not going to apply for that job. I enjoy being pastor among you. But even if I were currently unemployed, I don't think I would apply for it. For one thing, the spiritual resource persons whom they are engaging and hiring are more like gurus and psychics and mediums and practitioners of ancient Eastern arts of meditation and healing and such. No ministers of the gospel need apply, is the impression I got. And also, too, I thought, well, if I'm ministering or minister of the gospel in a situation where I'm expected to improve worker productivity and corporate profitability, well, is that really something for which Jesus died on a cross? I don't think so. So I didn't send my name in to apply for any of those positions. But you know that interest in, quote, spirituality is an improvement over what I remember in growing up in the 1960s and as a young Christian in the 1970s, where if conversation ever got around to matters of God or faith or the spiritual life, half the time what you would hear would be, why are you such a medieval troglodyte? Why don't you get on with the modern era? Where if, you know, what you're experiencing or talking about cannot be reproduced in a library, broken down to its chemical components or its subatomic particles according to the most rigorous scientific method and reviewed in peer journals by PhD peers in your field and reproduced in other laboratories, it doesn't exist. It's not for real. So, and if you've had some kind of experience of awakening or renewal or rebirth or of grace or oneness and wonder with the universe, we are that close to finding the biochemical neurological explanation for it. And that was the modern era. Okay, well, that obviously did not satisfy the hungers of many people because spirituality, as I said, is such a big thing. Now it's even gone corporate. And it does at least acknowledge that people know that they hunger for something more meaning and value and connection and oneness and wonder than what the modern worldview was going to give. In the postmodern world in which we live now, there are as many truths as there are persons and their perceptions and their identity groups and their experiences, supposedly. So in the modern era, when we got a lot of guff for being too open to non-material things, nowadays it seems like you get guff for not being open enough to all those things. So the reason I talk about this development of spirituality or spiritualities is because, yeah, it's something I can affirm, people being open to these things. But in Psalm 63, we get a different understanding of spirituality, one that I probably would not get hired for at Raytheon or General Motors or something like that. But I think puts us in touch with something profound and something connected to what we're celebrating today. You can follow along with me in the bulletin if you want to just look as I bring your attention to a few things in Psalm 63. And again, as much as I affirm people's experience of oneness and wonder and of connectedness and community, what we read in Psalm 63 is that this hunger, you know, as Bree shared with the children, is finally for God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. It's a recognition that God has put his thumbprint on each soul and a space there that only God alone can fill, even though we try so hard to fill it with other things. In AA meetings, in the 12-step meetings, they sometimes tell the story about one alcoholic asking the other, "Have you found God in any of those bottles yet?" And the other one says, "No, but it's not for a lack of trying." But it's a recognition that in all these things that we're looking for connection and oneness and transformation and renewal in, it's finally a hunger for God. And the psalmist here feeds on God. Excuse me, I should say, yeah. So in effect, as again Bree brought out, our blessed hunger is for God. Our holy thirst is for God. And the way the psalmist goes about this, one way of experiencing this oneness with God is through worship. Jumping down then to like verse 4, in praise and adoration. "So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." And praise and worship and adoration and appreciation are ways in which we deepen our sense of connection with something. Again, Jana started out the service this morning by asking about ways in which we saw something of the goodness of God. And I would bet that those of you who answered something about the flowers, about the blossoms, about the sunshine, about the full moon this week, I would bet, would it be fair to say that as you observed these things, you felt a sense of oneness and wonder and connection with these things. Would I be safe in saying that as you expressed and shared this with other people, that sense of oneness and wonder and connectedness went even deeper in yourselves? It's one thing to really admire and appreciate and just be touched by a beautiful piece of music. Isn't it something even deeper to say to somebody else, "Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful?" And as you connect with somebody else around this or express it, then it goes even deeper in ourselves. That's what we're doing here. That's a big part of our church's life. I think there are so many other things, including our service, come out of this experience of wonder and oneness that is deepened even as we express it with our lips, with our bodies. The psalmist does this in community with other people, for example. Looking at verse 2, "So have I looked upon you in the sanctuary." Now, in the sanctuary, and I think this is David, so it's probably the portable tabernacle. Perhaps he experienced or saw something of God's glory. Maybe it was in the glowing fire of God's presence above the Ark of the Covenant. Or maybe it was just in a wonderful worship experience with the priests and the song leaders and other people there. But in the sanctuary means that he did it in community, in relationship with others. And again, that's very different in that respect, at least, from the common emerging corporate understanding of spirituality, in which, don't you see, the major image of spirituality anymore is one person sitting by himself or herself, maybe in a lotus position, eyes closed, thumb and finger touching, just meditating personally. Okay, I'll talk about personal devotional life in just a moment, but that is how our culture increasingly understands spirituality, as your own personal self-improvement, your own individual self-empowerment project. And yes, I hope there's a personal blessing in seeking God. But for the psalmist in Psalm 63, he feasts upon God in the company with other people and sharing this feast. Filling this hunger is a big part of the spirituality. But yes, there is also the individual spiritual life that you read about in verse 6 here. "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." So it's not either a personal relationship with God or a community relationship with God. It is both. And here you see, you know, what touched Clyde so profoundly this morning, of loving God and loving people as the two commandments together. So
the spirituality of Psalm 63 is not just individual, it is the community as well, loving others as well as loving God. And that makes the things that we do with Mennonite Disaster Service, that makes the things that we do on behalf of Vida Feliz very spiritual things. And then finally, another element to this person's or Psalm 63 spirituality is faith or trust or dependence upon God. And we hear that in the last verses here, verse 7 and 8. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. So again, that's an expression of faith and trust in God. Again, spirituality, if you say the word spirituality in this culture, it's considered a good thing, and it is. But David also describes it as a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It can be as dangerous as it is delightful. I know I need a guide, a defender, a companion along the way. You all are that for me as members of this congregation worshiping here together, but also the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one for whom we hunger and thirst, is our defender on this journey as well. So remember those things there, our praise and adoration of God, our faith and our dependence upon God, our life together, our individual life with God, the service, the way we express our love to each other. These are, as we heard with the children today, ways in which we really feast upon that for which our souls were made. And there's one last thought that I want to leave with us here. And that is that however much our soul thirsts for God, however much we hunger for God, remember that the God who put his thumbprint in each of our souls hungers and thirsts for us, each one of us, even more. Amen.
As our hymn of response, number 506, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. 506.
We're taking some time during this Lent season for confession and reconciliation. Would you please join me? Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Who will listen to the Lord today? Please join me in prayer. God of life, we listen to you, for you alone have the words of life. When we realize that we have paid too much attention to the voices in our world, we listen to you. When we sense the poverty of our souls, we listen to you. When our souls hunger for abundant life, we listen to you. Together, in the morning and in the evening, we will listen to you. Our generous God provides for us.
Forward now with sharing about Vida Feliz.
Karen and Wendell have sent a video about Vida Feliz, which we'll now watch, and then I'll say just a few words after.
The Centro de Ancianos Vida Feliz Happy Life Senior Center is a day center that has been serving the elderly in the town of El Torno, Bolivia for over 20 years. In September of 2001, a crew of 12 disciples from Zion Mennonite, Pacific Covenant, and Calvary Mennonite churches spent several weeks working to begin the constructions of the center's building. Wendell and Karen Amstutz, who are members of both Zion and Vida Nueva Church, have been involved with the center since its beginning in 1997. Wendell currently represents Zion on the Centro Vida Feliz boards of directors, along with four local persons from the community of El Torno. The center is administered by two local professionals, William Villa Gomez and Zulma Becerra, who oversee an amazingly diverse program, including the People's Diner, a soup kitchen with a hot lunch program for more than 80 persons, a large fruit and vegetable garden, integrated health care and health education, occupational therapy and recreational activities, Bible teaching groups, home visits for elderly members who are bedfast or ill, integrational activities for getting students together with the elderly. The center has different activities for the elderly every day of the week. Monday is healthcare day. The center's nurse, Medarda Aguilera, attends the aches and pains.
We have healthcare activities like washing feet, cutting toenails, foot massage. We also take care of blood pressure checks. We do first aid checks. And we also are always watching out for the old people's nutrition, anything that helps with their overall health. Something that's very important for our health program is emotional health. We want the older people to have a smile on their face every day. Anything that can help them relax, lots of hugs. We want the elderly people to feel that they're important to someone. And that's the best way to lift their self-esteem, which is so important in integral health.
On Tuesdays, Pastor Ernesto Vargas leads the group in singing and Bible stories. The folks really enjoy coloring Bible story pages every week.
Te encuentras en las flores, flores de mil colores. Eres maravilloso.
Wednesday is for cultural activities and occupational therapy.
Handicrafts of different types keep motor skills sharp, and there are often cultural presentations from visitors or on the screen. Thursday is Bingo Day. Medarda calls the numbers and gives out the prizes. Bingo at Vida Feliz is a competitive sport, and participants don't want to miss a week. Friday is Groundskeeping and Garden Day with agronomist Salustiano. Under his direction, we prepare compost, maintain the plants, and harvest the bounty of the kitchen.
My job here is to organize the work that we do. For example, we do cleanup work, clean up plastic trash. We do the weeding, hoeing.
Saturday is socializing day. We celebrate all the birthdays of the week, and we often receive visitors from other senior centers or volunteers from schools or local institutions. Every day of the week, our cook Belinda keeps our stomachs happy with a breakfast, snack, and hot lunch from the kitchen. The state governor's office supports the people's dinner with a ration for 80 persons a day. The kitchen staff stretch this to serve up to 100 persons on many days and up to 150 on Saturdays.
Estoy encargada de la cocina.
I'm in charge of the kitchen. Everything that happens in the kitchen, as well as the pantry. I'm also in charge of the nutrition, making sure that we have a well-balanced diet. We share the work with a group of ladies that help me in the kitchen. We work together as a team so that everything works smoothly. We have as a vision to prepare the elderly for eternity. We have a very strong influence from the founding churches, and our primary concern for the elderly is that their heart experience a peace that allows them to live in community, to live in harmony, and that prepares them for that eternity that God has given us. As a psychologist, what I do is motivate the aging. I motivate them to find a new purpose in their lives, to find here at this center the happy life that perhaps they didn't have throughout the past years of their lives. I'm working in the area of the administration of the center, in the accounting, coordinating programs, coordinating with staff, community volunteers, and local institutions. We also help support other centers for the elderly. In the county, there are around 20 organizations that serve 2,500 to 2,800 elderly persons. That is all thanks to this project, Centro Vida Feliz.
I want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you who have been a support to this senior center here in El Tordón, Bolivia. We have needs. One is we want to re-roof the motoku, the palm roof cabin that we have here for meeting place. And also we have a pickup truck that we're fixing up to sell juices of the local fruit that we have in the season. And also we have a carriage that we'd like to buy a horse for in order to rent out for weddings and for parties. And so those are some of the needs that we have this year that we would like to receive support from. We also, Sulma, our director, is the person who we are supporting through our churches in the United States. And she's doing a wonderful job, and we'd like your continued support for her. Thank you. God bless you.
Next Sunday is the annual fundraiser for Vida Feliz, and our sisters and brothers from Roca de Salvacion will be serving a delicious and nutritious meal after the church service. We encourage you to come and share this meal and to give generously to support Vida Feliz. It's difficult to imagine being able to stretch our dollars more than is done there. And if you can't come, please give generously anyway.
And I can guarantee some very good food for that time, too. I'd like to begin our time of sharing and prayer with one testimony from Tuesday evening. Zion Mennonite Church's search committee met with a candidate for our faith formation position, and we feel very, very good about this person. And as soon as we get the name and recommendation to like church council and pastoral leadership team, then you'll be hearing it too. And then we'll give work on a chance for you all to get to meet this person and then see where we go from there. But we're very excited about that. What other testimonies or cares or concerns or joys would you like to share for our prayers this morning and this week? If you have any such, please raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic. Yes. Florence.
This is Florence, and I have a small apartment in the basement at my house. There's a woman living there, Ruby, and her 3-year-old grandson, Danny, will be having brain surgery for a tumor on Wednesday, and this is the second surgery for him. So she would appreciate your prayers, his parents would, and so would I. Thank you.
Did you say his name was Randy? Oh, Danny, sorry. Second. Thank you, Florence. So let's keep Danny in our prayers. Is there other sharing this morning? If not, then I invite you to join me again in prayer, a prayer that we will bring to close with the Lord's Prayer that you find, if you do not know it, or it's printed in our bulletin that you can share along with the version that we use. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all these connections to a wider, wonderful world. People in Puerto Rico, people in Idaho, people, Lord, in Bolivia. And all these connections are pictures of your kingdom. And Lord, the care that is shown to these people and that they have for us as well. The love that is expressed in hands-on labor, sharing of faith, singing and worshiping together. Lord, that is such an expression of your kingdom already coming and into this world. Lord, thank you for all who are here and for the love, the faith, and the hope that brings us here. These are ways that your Spirit gives us to experience you, to touch you, and to be touched by you. Lord, thank you for the chance to meet this week with a possible ministry person possibly joining us. We pray that you guide our discernment and, Lord, open our hearts all the more to whoever you're adding to our ministries and to our community. Lord, we lift up Danny. He is your child, Lord, as well as Ruby's. We pray that you bless and sustain him, oh God. Work with the surgeons and doctors and nurses working with him. And may this surgery indeed bring healing and guidance and strength for him and sustain his family and all who love and know him during this time of wondering and waiting, when it's so easy, Lord, to worry. We confide him and each other to your love, O God. Lord, your blessing again upon whatever future we have in the ministries of Mennonite Disaster Service, and also in our celebration coming up next week of our relationship with Vida Feliz. And Wendell and Karen, members of our church, bearing and expressing our love there and bringing it back to us. We thank you for that as well. For all these things are signs and symbols of that kingdom for which we pray with our Lord Jesus and his whole church everywhere that we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As our sending song, would you turn in the green book, Sing the Journey, to number 13, My Soul is Filled with Joy. Cynthia is going to accompany us. Would you please stand, and after we complete the song, please come out and see the trailer. We'll have it open. Go in peace.